Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Well, welcome to another episode of the Geared Garage Live Show. My name is Zach. This is a show I do kind of weekly now. I'm on a weird schedule. We normally do this on Tuesdays, but today's Friday, where I just answer questions that have been submitted during the week. You can ask a question through our website, Whitewater Guidebook. If you go to Gear Garage as under the heading and hit ask a question, that's the place. So please ask questions that way. If you ask them to me via Instagram Messenger or email, or you just find me on the street, I'll do my best, but it's very hard to answer questions over the phone, by the way. If you call me like, what raft should I buy? Oh, it's so complicated. Like how much money do you have? Are you doing overnight trips? Are you doing day trips? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? So it's better if you ask them through this. We can catalog them. We can do the live show. And then if you watch the show live, you can interact and give me feedback. Again, I get very open-ended, difficult questions like, what time of year should I get rafting? Like, oh man, it's so hard to answer. So please ask them through here if you can. But if you ask them other ways, we'll do our best to answer them on the show. So let's get started. We're going to answer a couple of questions and then talk about a blog and wrap this one up. So the first question is, what's the best oar length for running class two rapids in a 15-foot, 6-inch long striker inflatable boat? The boat has a 60-inch span, 6 foot 2-inch wide beam, and 160-pound outboard motor on the stern. So just so whoever asks this question knows, and everybody knows, I talk about whitewater, which almost doesn't include class two. So like when I'm talking about rapids, I'm talking about no motors, rafts, and most of what I'm talking about is like class three and four, maybe a little bit of class five. When it comes to class two, my answers are sometimes completely wrong because it doesn't matter that much. My rule of thumb so I won't give you that caveat. You're asking the wrong person, basically. I'm going to tell you my best answer based on what I would do for whitewater, which is class three and four, or maybe five. And I take the distance between the oar locks, or whatever you use to attach the oars to the boat, and multiply that distance by 1.63, and that's your oar length. And you can add or subtract half a foot or so based on your own personal oar management skills, feelings about the length of the oars, whatever. So like the other day we did this measurement and we got 9.62, which is just over 9.5 foot, right? So I'm good at oar management. I can manage my oars. I like longer oars because I like power. So 9.62 for me is 10, like no problem. Right. Well, somebody else likes shorter oars, so they took 9.62 and went 9.5. Cool. I disagree with that. And that boat we had a big tube, so it was off the water a little bit more. So I maybe would go a little bit longer than 9.62, but somebody chose 9.5. That's their choice. So I would say distance between the oar locks times 1.63, and then just add or subtract half a foot based on your own feelings about oar length. That's pretty straightforward. And that's the best answer I can give. But I think you're asking the wrong person because what you have is, I've never seen anything like it, and it's just not something I know about. All right, next question. Whoa, this one's long. I'm not going to read this whole thing out loud. If you're listening to a podcast, I'm apologizing because you can't read it. But someone here is using an AquaGlide Touring IK for class 3-4. I don't know what that is, which means it's probably not super appropriate for whitewater. Our last was on the lower salmon. After spending days sitting in the water, I know it's time for an upgrade. Yeah, yep, probably. I recently picked up a Star Outlaw 2 for my son, but so far it's only seen flat water. We've got some whitewater trips planned for June and early July. I'd love some advice on my new IK. I'm super torn between a few options in order of interest. Okay, and then there's a part at the bottom. 6'2", around 300 pounds, and need an IK that can support me on a 5-night trip. Also curious about the NRS riffle. It looks durable and capable. Yeah, usually I would say NRS kayaks and Star kayaks, which NRS bought Star. So Star is a part of NRS. I'm not going to call them durable. They might be capable, but I'm not going to call them durable. And also an interesting thing is this for for just you or you and your gear. So I'm assuming it's just you. If it's also your stuff on the multi-day, that the answer might be a little bit different. But there's a lot of things here. I'm gonna just tell you my quick answer, especially like if you're a bigger guy. My quick answer would be, man, I honestly I don't know. If cost isn't an issue, if cost is not an issue at all, the Wing Jimbo, but they're a couple $1,000s. Also, Gary, you're saying you and your stuff, like your camping gear, your dry bag, like your self-support inflatable kayak. You want something pretty big. So like if cost isn't an issue, I would go Wing Jimbo, but they're probably like at this point $2,500. They're expensive. But that boat is designed to carry some weight and run rivers. It's what we use on the Chetco. I designed it. I love it. Of course, I think it's a great boat, but they're very expensive. The next best thing is probably one of the Air Double Duckies. I probably go with, like, I see here you have the Air Outfitter, the Air Lynx. Yeah, I mean, they're bigger boats. They're stable. You want something pretty big. River Asher asked about High Side. The only, you know, the High Side Padillac is an absolute classic. It's what we use for our, let's see what else High Side has. How do I get rid of this? Let's look at a few of these. So let's first look at High Side Kayak. Man, I can't type today. High Side Kayak. Let's look at these real quick. The High Side Padillac one. Absolute classic. If it was just you, I'd probably go with the Padillac one. And I actually have a couple of these that were brand new in the box still. I'm selling if anybody's interested. But the Padillac 2, which is a double, is maybe what I would go with. This is just a classic. It's stable. It's durable. It rolls well. Thanks for being the separate director. This is probably the answer. This is what we use for our commercial guests because it's Hypalon or maybe, yeah, it's probably Hypalon. I'm guessing it's Hypalon. It has a little bit of a twist. It's not too stiff, which when you go into a hole, you want a little bit of twist to keep from flipping. So I think flips are less likely. Big tubes on the side, which help keep it from flipping, make it super stable. I would probably go with the Padillac too, honestly. As I think about this, solid boat. High Side also makes some other ones I don't like. Let's see, look at their K2. I'm not a huge fan of this design. It's not that different from the Padillac. I just like the Padillac more. But this is an option as well. You're looking at the airboats, Air Lynx, Kayak. Let's bring those up. I'd say this is a close second. What I don't like is the tapered tubes, although I guess the Padillac has that. I think the Padillac has the bigger tubes. I think this is, when I see these, they're a little bit less stable, but they are a little bit more performance. And I think that's the trade-off on kayaks is performance versus stability. This thing is smaller tubes, a little more pointed. You're going to zip around the river a little bit better performance-wise, but it's going to be a little tippier, right? If you want a more performance, I'd probably go to the Sotar ones that they make. They're pointy. I know everybody wants performance, but stability is very nice, especially on an overnight trip, especially with a bunch of gear. Like this kayak, and they probably make this as a two-person kayak. Again, if you're 300 pounds and you're carrying your gear too, you probably want something like a double kayak and just use it for you. Like put the seat, take a double, throw the seat where you want it, and then put the gear around you. Let's get back to your question here. Okay, Star Outlaw, 5 chambers, drops. I don't like the drop switch floor on those. Their price point's great. Reviews, I'm sure, are fine. But yeah. I'm just gonna say the Star, if cost is an option, this is probably an option. The Lynx 2, great. Outfitter 2, nice bow kick, good gear loops, pricey. What are you seeing? I don't think that the Outlaw, that the drop stitch floor is gonna be better than the air floors, but I'm not 100% sure. But I didn't realize they had a Lynx in an Outfitter series. Let's find this Outfitter series. The Outfitter 2. This actually looks a little bit more stable. I'd have to look at the size of the tubes. This might have bigger tubes because for Outfitters, we want our guests to be stable. Like we, in an Outfitter boat, you want stability over performance, right? The little bit of performance isn't going to help people that much. So this looks solid. But if I had to decide between this and the Hisei Padillac 2, I would personally go Padillac 2. And yeah, that's just what I would do. The price is about the same. And then Star, let's just look at the Star Outlaw. Oh, let me, sorry, I need to pull that up. I was looking at the Outfitter 2 right there. Sometimes I'm looking at something, but I'm not putting it on the screen. Law, Star Outlaw 2. Yeah, let's pull this up. Yeah, I just, oh God, this is $900. It's hard. It's like, what a deal. I mean, honestly, I feel like the case with all rafts and kayaks, this is my stock answer for what raft should I buy? I don't know. If you pay more, it's going to be better. That's if you can afford more, get more. I'd say this is minimum viable product. This will maybe work, but at some point you'll probably regret. If you go once a year, this is probably fine. But at some point you're going to regret this decision if you use it a lot. If it's once a year on the lower salmon or whatever, I don't know. This is maybe fine. Okay, let's go back to the other questions. The Corin Tandem? I've never even heard of this. Corin Tandem. It's Corin Tandem. Has anybody heard of this? I don't see a Corin Tandem anywhere. I just Googled it. Terrible too. I don't know. Is it this? I don't think it is. I don't know. I don't know what you're asking about. I like that it has a big water, but I think I hate on flower. I can't find it, so I have no idea what it is. And then the RMR boats. If you're going to try to save money, I would not go with the NRS. I would go with Rocky Mountain. And I've never used either one of them. Oh, there's also, I just found an option. Let me go back. Let's see. Let's look at this. There's something to consider are these nice kayaks. This is similar to the design for the Wing Jimbo. It's really bulbous at the ends. It's got same size tubes all around. This is a good option. I would almost say for you, this is my second favorite option. I mean, it's probably my second favorite option off the high side. The high side is probably a better build quality. I think this one is probably PVC. And I really don't like those drop stitch floors. I think you may think they float you higher, but they slide around, they move around. I think they're less durable. I'm not a fan of those drop. Those are the drop stitch floors. They just fit in the bottom. They just shove them in the bottom and everything works out. But these things are I like the design. Yeah, again, it's just holes in the floor, and then the drop stitch just puts you up in the air. That's all it's doing. It's a pretty new company, but they do cool stuff. I think I would check out these knives. It's a good option, especially with gear. The problem with all the ones you looked at pretty much is they have pointy ends. So if you put a dry bag in the bow and it's pointy end, it's not going to have a lot of flotation up there. It's going to struggle. It's going to bend a little bit. I'm not sure if that makes sense. Where if you have flotate, like if you have these big tubes in the front and you rig a dry bag in the front, the big tubes handle that weight really well. Again, pointy kayaks, if you look at all these pointy kayaks, let's look. Oh, sorry. I made a mistake, everyone. I need to put this. Whenever I click on a button, sometimes it opens up a new window. This is the nice kayak right here, in case you haven't seen it. Again, it has these big bulbous bow and stern, which I really like. I think it's a great feature on a kayak. I don't like the pointy ends, especially if you're carrying gear. When you're putting gear in there, you want that bulbous end. You want that volume in the bow and the stern to handle your dry bag. I'm guessing this is designed to carry a load. Look at that. Look at that photo right there, right? That's what this is designed for. Sit on it, put these bags in the bow and the stern, put your kid in the stern even. Right, this is, yeah, it's PVC. It's almost, it's 0.99 millimeter PVC. think if you're looking at a combination of price and performance for what you're doing, this is probably your top choice. And I've never used one. I've never seen one in person, but I've talked to people that have used them. From what I know from this company, I would probably go with this. It's not going to be super durable, but definitely more durable than the NRS thing you were thinking about. Okay, so let's go back to, let's look at the RMR boats really quick. RMR inflatable kayak. Okay, so this is the issue I was talking about with all these inflatable kayaks. They weren't, none of the ones you mentioned were designed to take a person and gear. They were designed for a person, assuming you're doing a day trip or your gear somewhere else. So these pointy bows and sterns, you put a dry bag up there in the bow or the stern, it'll rig in, but it's not going to work great. This one isn't bad because it has similar, if you look at this one, it has similar size tubes all the way around. So this one isn't bad. But when you go with the pointy bow ones, they just don't handle dry bags and gear very well. So, you know, if you're thinking about getting the Star, I definitely, this is about the same price. Definitely go with this over the Star one or the NRS one. If you're going to go with RMR, I think this is the one to go with, again, because there's more volume all around. Cool. Hopefully I answered that question. So getting back to this thing. So Star Outlaw 2, I wouldn't touch it. Air Outfitter 2, it's a solid boat. For carrying gear 2 is probably not what I would go with, but it's a solid boat. It would work. The Lynx 2, I'd get the Outfitter over the Lynx. Corn Tandem, don't know what that is. The Taylor versus Animus, I don't know. You want volume. And I don't even know what the NRS Riffle is, but it sounds like a bad idea. I guess I'll look it up. NRS Riffle Kayak. I haven't even heard of this. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Oh, it's a pack raft. Yeah, I do 300 pounds and weight. Don't even think about a pack raft. You definitely want a real ducky. And you're doing lower salmon, you said? Lower salmon. Yeah, you don't want a pack raft. Okay, so here we go. Comments from the audience. Depends on the amount of gear a tandem IK with one person. Depends on the amount of gear a tandem IK with one person. I'm not sure that's a complete sentence. Outfitter 2 has a 1-inch larger. Yeah, the Outfitter. Thanks, Steve. Yeah, I figured it was larger than the Lynx. If you can go with one of those, Outfitter 2. Tomcat Max for an IK. I don't even know what a Tomcat Max is. Air Tomcat. That's an air boat. Is it Air Tomcat Max? I'm looking it up. I didn't even know they had it. That's kind of cool. Let's go back to here. Oh, and it's tributary, so it's going to cost less. So if you're buying the Air Outfitter 2, it's pretty expensive, right, because it's made in the U.S. This is their made overseas version. $1,000 definitely would go with this over 100% over the NRS, 100% over the Star, over the RMR, I'd go with this. It's just, you see the pointy ends I'm talking about? All the airboats kind of pointy ends. It's not bad, but if you're going to carry a bag in the bow and the stern, you want to try to get away from pointy ends. There's also very, very pointy ends. This is only moderately pointy. When I say pointy, I mainly mean the tube really diminishes to a point. I'm guessing that the tubes on this, they look big. This is a sweet option. Thanks for adding that in, Adam. I never knew that existed. Outfitter 2 is much bigger. It sounds like an inch, but they're definitely bigger. I would not recommend a Start, even at the price point, perform poorly and are not very durable. Yeah. And Blue Puma knows what's up. Blue Puma is a wealth of knowledge. Cronin Tandem. Oh, another. I didn't even think about the Cronin. If you want to really live life on the edge, okay, Tandem. Thanks for everybody for bringing these ideas up. Here we go. Get an ugly ducky product. This is a solid option too. Is there a tandem? I don't see the tandem. Maybe he doesn't have it. But if you want people to think you're a little weird, you're the two person. It's unavailable, but his photos aren't that great, unfortunately. That's all we get. But it has it's like a creature craft shape. But it has, this is the same. If you took my Jimbo, my wing Jimbo, and you just gave up tons of rocker, this is what you have, almost to a T, with the same volume all around. I would consider an ugly ducky too. Yeah. So thanks for suggesting that. That's a super smart thing. Corn and tandem. Yeah. Yeah, that's an option. They're interesting boats. On my first Padlock in 98, no issues except after 20 years, I had to replace the pressure relief valve. But yeah, the Padlocks are very durable. The Padlock is, they're the high side Padlocks are a sweet option. Watershed salmon stow float or a dry bag with pointy ends. Yeah, I mean, you could get a pointy ended dry bag to match a pointy in the boat. It's really an option. I think most people just want to get a regular dry bag, but that's an option. So going back to the question, ignore the star, don't do the star, don't do the NRS, don't do the Airlinks. Oh, core in tandem. You meant crone in tandem. Got it. Yeah. So I think your options here, the things I think would be good is the crone in tandem, speed option, get the Padlock 2, super good option. That airboat that was the tributary that we looked at. That's the Max something. Somebody mentioned it. Tomcat Max, sweet option, or that nice kayak. I think they're all pretty good for what you're doing. If your concern is weight, I'd go with the Cronin. I think if your main concern is like weight and you like the you don't mind the bow rocker and you do like the PVC, because he's had that PVC floor. If you like the PVC floor, I'd go with this for sure. The boat that I design that I think is the best, but they're very expensive, is just for comparison, is the Jimbo. This thing is, I've run this down. This is a photo I took on the Chepco. This boat is sweet. So all a Cronin is, and the floor is a little thin on this, so you might be sitting in water in the floor potentially. But what we've done is just put a pad down instead of above it, if you're worried about that. But all a Cronin is a lower quality version of this with just a ton of bow rocker and the bow stern. So I think this one's perfect. If you don't mind a little less quality and you don't mind the rocker, I'd probably go Wing Jimbo. Good question. Lots to think about. So that's it for questions. I do want to finish up the episode and just share a blog post with you all. And the reason we do blog posts like this is we get so many questions here, both my office and me personally, that are like, how do I do this? How do I do that? And you know, unfortunately, we're in our busiest time of year, so it's really hard to sit on the phone with somebody for half an hour and answer the questions. It's just hard. If you call this in like October, cool. But when you're calling us in our busiest time of year to help you plan your trip, it's challenging. Or you're like, what kind of 14-foot raft should I buy? Like, oh, it's so hard to answer that in like 10 minutes even. You know, the first question is, are you sure you need a 14-foot raft? Right? So that takes us down a long line. So we put out a lot of blog posts, like how to wash dishes, how to plan a middle fork of the salmon trip. If you have questions about planning a middle fork of the salmon trip, I've written a few blogs about it and done videos about it. Here's one more with as many answers as we can get out to you. So please, if you have questions, use this as a resource about and sign up for our newsletter for things you need, shuttle, how to get food. You know, we're putting as much of this content as we can to share with anybody that has questions. Now, if you have questions further than this, like this isn't enough information for you, that's when you can go to the Gear Garage thing and ask us a question. I'd be happy to answer it on the show for you. So I think that's it. There's one more comment. Is a drop stitch floral can raft? Yeah, it just depends. It depends. I don't like specifically the drop stitch floors that, so they take a raft and they put in a regular floor with holes and then they shove a piece of drop stitching on top of that. That's kind of loose. That isn't part of the boat. That's just a very inexpensive way to make a boat. Whereas if the drop stitch floor is like connected to the boat, right? It's not sitting on top of a bucket boat floor with holes. It's actually the floor. It's a really good floor. There's advantages and disadvantages for sure. I'm not going to get into them right now because it's a whole conversation. But yeah, most rafts, it's attached. The Star rafts, again, it's just if you buy the Star Raft NRS, they just put a bucket boat floor in there, punch some holes for drain, and throw that drop stitching on. I'm not a fan of that. That's just a thing I don't like, so I'm not a huge fan. Steve says they have inferior tracking. That is the common thing, is that drop stitch floors don't track. But if you let some air out of them and run them a little bit soft, they can track really well. So if you have them inflated all the way, they don't track well, which if that's important to you, then maybe don't get a drop stitch floor. But if you need tracking on a drop stitch, deflate it a little bit, or just learn to boat a little bit different. Like, tracking to me isn't the end all be all. Sometimes it's really nice. Sometimes tracking can be a disadvantage. We were running in Illinois last week. If you go over a drop and the boat's turned to one side, it's going to track that way. And you want to pull a move, but you're fighting tracking. And so sometimes you don't want, especially if there's weight in the front, you don't want tracking. So, you know, I wouldn't say tracking is something that's always an advantage. It's a trade-off. And so if you don't mind a little, if you can boat in a way that doesn't require tracking, they make good floors. That's a lot of information, but we just talked about this the other day. Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks everybody for watching. We'll probably do another episode next Thursday or Friday. And yeah, I'll see you all next.